Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something on your mind, a question you'd like to pose, give us a call right now. The line is open at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've got a great program today. We're going to discuss several really important issues that affect every single believer, how they live the Christian life, how they relate to God and Jesus Christ, how they relate to one another, and it really gets down to this subject of law and grace. Yeah. So we had a great call that came in overnight, one that came in from a YouTube viewer yesterday. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited about being able to tackle these two questions.
Sure.
But first we want to talk about this new covenant that we live in and this freedom that we have as children of God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul writes this, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Now, this is the conclusion to a full chapter on comparing the old covenant with the new covenant. And he says right before this that whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over the heart, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And then here comes the conclusion. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So the intimation is, under the law, there's no freedom. And that's what we find in the New Testament time and time again.
Right.
There is bondage. You're just a prisoner to sin and death. The law has held you captive in that status. And it's only when you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ that you experience freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew, I just wish more and more people knew this and really experienced it and lived as free believers in Jesus. But this is a powerful verse and passage, isn't it?
Yeah. I think we're scared of the word freedom. When people hear the word freedom, they think of chaos. They think of, a lawlessness. They think of just setting world records for sin. You know, the word freedom for Christians and those of us who have been embedded in a lifeless religion and a religiosity and a legalism, when we hear the word freedom at first, we just sort of imagine that we're talking about freedom to sin or something. And I think we need to recognize that that's not the biblical freedom that God is pushing and promoting and highlighting in Jesus. What he's saying is, it's freedom from sin. So there's a world of difference between freedom to sin and freedom from sin. I've always said freedom to sin is really just an illusion of freedom because sin doesn't provide that liberty. And so we've got freedom from sin, and that comes from our freedom from the law. And I don't know that many have seen that relationship, but that's what we're saying, guys, that you know, when there's a freedom from the law, there is a freedom from sin. Now, the law is not sin, of course. The law is holy and good, but you put me under the law, and then sin is going to thrive. So when God frees us from the law, we have an effect there. And that effect is that we are then freed from sin's power. That's why Paul can say, apart from the law, sin is dead. And then he says, sin will not master you because you are not under the law, but under grace. So we got to, in the Christian world today, Bob, we've got to connect these and stop hedging about freedom, stop misdefining freedom. This is not a freedom to go out and sin and find fulfillment. That is a fantasy. This is freedom from sin. And that comes from our freedom from the law and our new life under grace. So under grace, we're motivated to live upright lives. That's why we need to brag on God's grace, highlight God's grace, celebrate God's grace, and not water it down, because God's grace is inspiring and motivating.
Yeah, and God's grace is what enables the Spirit of God to work freely in our lives. And that's, you know, we have to make that connection that when we're talking about grace, we're not talking about an it, we're talking about a person. We're talking about the person of Jesus Christ, who has come to live inside of us through his Spirit. And that's why we can experience freedom, freedom from sin, and freedom to really grow in this relationship that we now have with Jesus Christ by the Spirit. And this whole new covenant life that we live today is a life by the Spirit. It's not by the law. It is by the Spirit. And because it's by the Spirit, then we have that opportunity to freely enjoy the abundance of life that Christ gave us when we first believed.
Indeed. Well, that is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this edition. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me, and we're glad you're here. 844-322-2742. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're actually going to go to Ernest in Dallas, Texas, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Ernest.
How you doing?
Doing fine. What's on your mind today?
I have a brother, older brother, that's about 75 years old and retired, married, but he lives beyond his means. He gambled his retirement money, and now he's asking me for help. Should I or should I not?
That's a good question, Ernest.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of factors that go into that, and I think, you know, ultimately, Ernest, the answer for you individually is going to be you pray about it, you consult the Spirit of God who lives in you, and you say, what does it mean to love my brother? Because that's what we're talking about here. Sometimes love is, sometimes love says, this is not healthy for me to rescue this situation. Other times,
that's where I look at it right there. You won't learn nothing.
Okay, so it may be that you've already got your answer. It's just that you weren't certain until you verbalize it and get it out there. But you know, the traditional Christian answer might be, you know, we've always just got to be nice and please everybody and fix everybody. But you know, sometimes God's Spirit living in us will advise us to set up healthy boundaries and love people with a love that's good for them, meaning, you know, if you're an enabler, if you're a person that is just rescuing a situation, then you prevent another person from learning what God has for them. So, you know, I would say weigh it carefully, definitely pray through it, and be sensitive to your new heart. I mean, your new heart is going to lead you. That's where Christ lives. And from what you said right there, as just a gut-level reaction, it may be that the Spirit of God is already kind of leading you in a direction of be careful, be wise, be sound-minded, don't be an enabler, you don't have to rescue every time. So, you know, that sounds like some godly wisdom to me right there. Okay, brother?
Well, I'm a Christian. Deep down, I do love my brother. I do want to help my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems that if I help him, it's just an easy way out for him. Mm-hmm. He won't learn a thing.
Well, there also may be other ways that you can help him that aren't financial. There may be other ways that you can really serve him and love.
Would it be wrong for me to ask him for how he pays his bills? And that way I can find out if he's a conservative with his money or not.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I mean, if he's coming for you for help and is asking for financial help, I think one of the ways that you might be able to help is to help him get control of his money. And
exactly.
Maybe that's the way that you can help him. So,
well, right now he's saying no. He doesn't want to do that. And I said yeah.
No,
that's going to show me how he spends his money. And if he spends it unwisely, I'm going to tell him where he spends it on wisely. That's where I can help him.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that someone will, you know, they'll come to us for help. They're willing to take money as financial aid, but maybe they don't want to answer some basic questions or offer some basic information. So some of those things might be clues as to where he is right now. And, you know, I think also, Bob, when you were talking about other ways of help, I mean, sometimes people need, in the midst of financial crisis, they need encouragement, about the gospel, and they need to hear about the truth of where Jesus is, and if he lives in them, and what he's thinking through this, and where is God in all this. So, you know, there are other ways to help, aren't there?
Yes, right. Yes,
well,
indeed.
He's not a good Christian. He doesn't go to church. Mm-hmm. All he does is read the Bible. That's not enough.
Yeah.
Well, Ernest, let me do this. Let us help in the way that we can, and let me put you on hold, and I'll send you some resources that you can pass on to your brother, and maybe he'll listen to them, and God will use those resources and you to be a help that's more than just getting him out of a financial hole right now. So let me put you on hold, and we'll get you some resources that may be a big help in this situation, okay?
Thank you, and I enjoy your program very much.
Thanks, well, Ernest.
Thank you, Ernest. You hang on, my friend.
Yeah. 844-322-2742. We have an open line for you if you'd like to join us and join the conversation on this edition of Basic Gospel. And, friend, you know, helping people hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ, keeping all eyes on him, separating grace from law, that's a primary focus here at Basic Gospel, based solidly on the New Covenant. And to assist you, our friends, to understand our liberty in Christ, Bob and Richard have worked together to produce a new resource called Law and Grace. And as you make your July gift to Basic Gospel, we're going to send you a copy. It's 2 CDs, 5 messages, and your gift today will help others to continue to proclaim, or help us to continue to proclaim this message of freedom in Jesus Christ, and help other believers get free, equipping them to walk in dependence upon our Lord. You can donate at basicgospel.net. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. You can use the Basic Gospel app, and in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada, or through PayPal. And thank you for your love of this message that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, and as you make your July gift, look for your copy of Law and Grace. Well, guys, we had a call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hi, I am calling because I just had a question about the difference between the law and the commandment. I guess what I still don't understand is whether we are only qualified for eternal life if we keep the commandments. Because he said that that's what we have to do. We have to love God, love people, and then there are the Ten Commandments, and that includes keeping the Sabbath, and I just don't know how to wrap my head around it, and it's pretty consistent sources, I guess, fear and anxiety for me. Just not wanting to, I guess, reject a hard saying just because I am not willing to lay down my comforts to try to do what God actually expects of us. I would appreciate to hear your thoughts on that issue. Thank you. Bye.
Wow, what a great question. And yeah. I think it really applies to a lot of people. And at the top of the hour, this is the question that I was talking about that we were going to get to today. And very excited, Andrew, that you and I can discuss this. So when it comes to commandments, and when Jesus said, you know, if you keep my commandments, that shows that you love me. What commandments is he talking about? Is he talking about the Ten Commandments? Is he talking about the commandments to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself? What is he talking about there?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're tempted every single time we see the word command or commandment, we're tempted to think of Moses. We envision in our minds tablets of stone and Moses coming down from Mount Sinai and announcing to all of Israel what the law is. But we need to recognize that there are all kinds of commandments throughout Scripture. For example, you go to the book of Corinthians and Paul has a command here or there about marriage or an issue that's going on in the Corinthian church. He has a command from the Lord. So we cannot equate everything in the Bible that is called a command or a commandment. We can't equate that with the Old Testament law. They are not one and the same. Now, with that said, what is it that Jesus is talking about? Because if he says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Well, I want you to notice that that is not a mandate, it's not a threat, it's not a condition for heaven. It is just a plain and simple and straightforward fact that if you have a love for Jesus inside of you, then you will, by default, you will keep his commands. So think of that as a promise, not a threat. Think of that as an assurance and a promise, not a condition for something. So with that in mind, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Well, what are his commands? I mean, as the caller mentioned, does that include the Sabbath? Should we be going through the book of Leviticus trying to figure out what these commands are? 1 John 3 tells us something different. It says, these are his commands, to believe in the Son of God and to love others even as God has loved us. And then two chapters later, Bob, it says that these commands are not burdensome. Now, the caller, you know, she said, I've got fear about this issue. I'm experiencing anxiety about this issue. And eternal life is on the line. In her mind, eternal life is on the line, and it's stirred up in her all of this fear and anxiety. Well, we need to remember that the truth will always set us free. And the scripture says that his commands are not burdensome. So this is not going to weigh us down. It's not going to heap guilt on us. It's not going to bring fear. God's perfect love casts out that fear. So where is the truth in this? Here's the truth. If you are a child of God, and if Christ lives in you, then the Bible announces in a crystal clear fashion, it says, you are dead to the law, you are not under the law, Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe. And then it says, you've got a new heart, you've got an obedient heart, and you have something written on your heart. What is it that's written on your heart? Well, it's exactly what we mentioned in 1 John 3. Here is what is written on your heart. Believe in the Son of God. That's written on your heart. And then also love others, even as God has loved you. That is written on your heart. So that's why Jesus can say what he said. He can say for sure that if you have a love for him deposited inside of you by the Holy Spirit, then you will keep his commands. Why? Because God is working in you. He who began this good work, he's going to carry it on to completion. You're born of God, born of the Spirit. You got that new heart and that new nature. And as the book of Ephesians says, you've got this incorruptible love inside of you. God put it there. So guys, that is what it means to have God's commands written on the lining of your heart. It has nothing to do with Moses. It's not old covenant. These are new covenant commands of believe and love. And that is what is written on our hearts today.
And getting back to the verse we read at the beginning, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. This law of love and belief in Jesus Christ, those commands were written on our hearts by the Spirit himself. And that's exciting. So,
yeah.
Andrew, great insight, great answer to that question. And I hope it's beneficial to our caller that called in last night.
Indeed. We really appreciate hearing from our listeners, and we'd love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742, both in Canada and the U.S., 844-322-2742. And friends, I want to remind you of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We have a copy for you right now. It's only $10, and we include the shipping. We cover the shipping as well. If you've ever wondered how the Christian life is really supposed to work, well, this is your best chance to find out. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher, and you can go to basicgospel.net, and there's a prominent link right on the homepage there, or you can call 844-322-2742. Again, it's a great deal, only $10, and we pay the shipping. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Well, thanks, Bob. The other question that we wanted to get to today is a question about Galatians 5:4, and it says, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. And the question from our YouTube viewer yesterday was, does falling away from grace mean that you have lost your salvation? And I think in, you know, a cursory read of this, that would be the conclusion that you would make. But when you put it back into context, that's not what it's saying at all, is it, Andrew?
Right, exactly. I mean, the Apostle Paul is irate. He has a righteous anger here. He's baffled. He is absolutely confused about how they could arrive at this place of some of them starting with Jesus and then getting distracted. And then others of them are so off base from the start that they still are not yet justified. In other words, they're not saved. They're not made right. They're not righteous. Instead, they're seeking to be justified by what they do, by their works. So that's the context here. When the Bible talks about falling from grace, I know that the modern day media might use it in a different way. We say, oh, this celebrity or that celebrity, they lived such a good life, such a moral life, and then they fell from grace. And what the reporter, you know, giving that story to us means is that their ethics, that their behavior, that their conduct changed there. Well, that's not what Paul means. He's not talking about how great the Galatians were and how they sinned too much. But instead, what he's saying is they have fallen away from the message of grace, and that means they've fallen toward something. If you fall away from grace, you're falling toward the law. If you're falling away from the idea of being justified by Jesus, then you're falling towards self-justification, where you are standing there at the end of the age bragging about your own works. So I think one of the clues here is it very clearly says, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated or cut off from Christ. You have fallen from grace. And then he clarifies, for through the Spirit we, now that's referring to believers, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. So, in other words, you guys are off base, you have fallen from grace, but we believers, we eagerly await that righteousness by faith that is our hope. So, there's a difference between the you and the we. And when a Christian reads this passage and starts getting scared because of it, we're missing the context, guys. I mean, it is so important to understand that sometimes the Bible's talking to believers, but other times there's an evangelistic heart and evangelistic appeal. And I think this is one of those. He's saying, Galatians, be careful. Watch out. Don't be duped. Don't be tricked. Don't be cut off from the message of Christ. Don't try to justify yourself before God. Instead, look to Jesus and Jesus alone.
Yeah, great insight. And it's interesting, this translation in the ESV, you are severed from Christ. Boy, that is just really severe. That is really harsh. And I don't think that's a really good translation. It's to render ineffective. So if you're trying to be justified by the law, you're basically saying what Paul said in Galatians 2:21, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. So if you're saying that you can be justified by the law, then Christ is ineffective to you. He's of no value to you. And that's what you're saying. So you're falling away from grace. And there's really an interesting turn here, Andrew. The exact same word is used in the book of Romans, Romans 2:7, where Paul says in Romans 7:2 that we have been released from the law. That's the exact same word. And in verse 6, but now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive. So as believers, the law has become ineffective to us. Yeah. Why? Because we've latched on to Christ. Absolutely. And he's saying exactly what you said. For those who are looking at the law, make that ineffective and latch on to Christ, because he's your hope.
Absolutely. That is good news from Basic Gospel, everybody. Well, friends, please remember that Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and we need your help to keep the good news on the air and online. Please help us if you can. You can donate online at basicgospel.net. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. You can use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, please make your gift at basicgospel.net/Canada. Friends, your gifts are vital, and when you give this month, you'll receive our new 5-message CD series called Law and Grace. We look forward to hearing from you. Also, if you have a question about anything you've heard or anything you'd like to hear on Basic Gospel, give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number's good anytime, day or night. We love hearing from you. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for our continuation of our series on marriage. We'd love to see you then. Bye-bye.